Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Edition of Sports Time Radio, and hey, not only is it Thursday, but it's Bo Jackson's birthday as well. So if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so if you happen to miss yesterday, swing on over there. It's still right there at the top of the page. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you'd like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget there's the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh. All right, so what's going on, Dan? I haven't seen a whole lot of fun stuff. You know, everybody still seems to be in an uproar over the Eli Manning thing. I did catch a little blurb here that Edgar Martinez was named the top American League DH, so at least the Mariners have that going for them.
Well, that and the Cubs and Jake Arrieta have differing opinions on length of a deal.
Yeah, I'm sure there's no surprise there from anybody, right? You know, that those things are kind of going on. I know there were some more, you know, I guess you would call them minor deals. You know, the A's signed Yusmeiro Petit to I believe he got a 2-year deal. Yeah, here it is. 2 years, $10 million with a club option for a third year. I assume he'll fill in their bullpen, you know, as a setup guy. And there were a couple of minor trades. The Diamondbacks went out and got Brad Boxberger, you know, another setup type guy. You know how that kind of goes, for a minor league right-hander by the name of Curtis Taylor. And then the fun one, Dan, that I guess we're going to hear a lot of now is the Angels acquired reliever Jim Johnson and international bonus money from the Braves for a minor league left-handed pitcher by the name of Justin Kelly. So, you know, again, nothing really what you would call huge on the baseball market, just kind of minor stuff still floating around. Do you, you know, winter meetings are in a couple weeks. Do you think it's gonna heat up a little, or is this damn Giancarlo Stanton BS gonna drag everything down?
Well, I think the Stanton will bring everything down, but then the Ohtani talk gonna get everyone mixed. You've got to wonder. I don't want to say more importantly, but what the hell are the Braves going to do?
Yeah, I don't think they're quite ready to win. You know, I think they're still kind of a year away. I know I heard somebody talking that they were going to be big players and go out and sign Mike Moustakas to fill their third base role. And, you know, none of it really made sense to me because I'm like, I don't know. Are they contenders? I didn't think they quite had the pitching to contend, but maybe they know something I don't. I mean, I guess if you get him on a long enough deal, he'll be there when they get good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, here's a list of top 10 potential non-tender candidates. And the first one is first baseman from the Braves, Matt Adams. He's in the third year of arbitration. Do you think he's staying down there in Atlanta?
No, I read earlier in the week that they were trying to move him You know, he was, they kind of, you know, they picked him up when Freddie Freeman got hurt last year. And, you know, he did a nice, you know, he did a nice job for him. But, you know, obviously with Freeman back, it's, you know, there's no real spot for him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, you know, kind of staying south, heading to Houston, what do you think the potential of keeping Mike Fiers with the Astros and then Evan Gattis?
Yeah, I don't think Gattis is going anywhere. You know, Fiers, I could see them kind of, you know, letting him walk depending on where his money is going to end up. But, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he's out there somewhere. I mean, he does have a no-hitter to his fame, but that's really about it.
You know, kind of sticking with him, it's your Theo. Unfortunately, I don't have his age in front of me, but I'm assuming he's much younger than 32. Would you be more secure, more apt to kind of come knocking on his door to bring him up and let Ariel Elliott walk as opposed to ending up with a 38-year-old pitcher who hasn't proven to be an upswing?
Yeah, well, believe it or not, he's actually 32. He'll be 33 in June. So you were right there on the edge.
He'll be 38 on the end of his career for the 6-year term.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I guess it depends if you look at it. I mean, he made 28 starts for the Astros, but his ERA was 5.22. You know, even the year before that, in 30 starts, his ERA was 4.48. So I don't know if you're getting an upgrade, and I don't believe he was on any of their playoff rosters. He didn't pitch. So I'm not quite sure, you know, if you would be getting something. He's represented by RMG Baseball, whoever they are. So
well, good for them. Sticking with World Series teams, you know, the Dodgers kind of forward went. They have Monty Grandel for Austin Barnes. And then they had that young kid they brought up. I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now. Do you kind of see him walking or being let go and maybe heading somewhere else?
Yeah, Grandel was the other name I heard as trade bait. You know, I mean, it's clear that, you know, they're no longer interested in as him being, you know, a number one catcher. So you've got to kind of wonder, you know, what their idea is or what they're looking to do. But, you know, he's definitely a power guy. You know, I mean, he definitely, I'm trying to remember, I want to see if I can find his stats here. I don't think he's a horrible defensive catcher. I know that was part of the problem, is they liked Barnes better behind the plate, but he's only 29. Mm-hmm. And what do you end up hitting last year? Yeah, you know, he hit 22 homers, 27 the year before that. So he's got really good power as a catcher. Do they have it? Yeah. You know, he threw out 32% of the runners trying to steal against him. That's not, you know, that doesn't sound too bad, but yeah, you know, it looks like after he's been with the Dodgers 3 years now, it looks like they're ready to move on. Never been a great average hitter. You know, his career 240, he did it 247 for them last year. He did make a couple postseason appearances, but it looks like mostly,
yeah,
you know, it's like a couple starts. Yeah, it's one, it looks like one start and then maybe some pinch hit. Yeah. More and more, it kind of looks like he's going to be the odd man out if they can find anybody. And he's in this is actually his last year of arbitration. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll have to see if, but yeah, I would assume, you know, there's such a lack of catching. You got to think somebody's going to be interested in him.
Yeah, I mean, the reports say that he might be a little high, the salary for a backup. I mean, Atlanta, I keep going back to Atlanta, but they've had issues at the catching position. Do you think they'd be someone to go that route? Or, you know, what about even the White Sox? I don't know if they're in that mood to start, you know, maybe picking up some, I don't want to say middle of the road, but a guy that could have potential.
Yeah, well, you know, there's, I mean, you could go up and down the list. I mean, there's a ton of places he could end up. You know, the one that jumped out to me right away was Arizona, because they went with the pitch framing duo last year of Jeff Mathis and Chris Stewart. Yeah. So immediately offensively, Grandal is a much better offensive option. So, you know, you wonder if, you know, they would be interested in someone like him, or, you know, who knows? I know, you know, the Rangers just signed Juan Cento. You know, they could be looking for a catcher. I don't know, you know, with only 1 year left before free agency, I don't know if he fits for a rebuilding team like the White Sox, because he's probably not going to stick around as a free agent. But, yeah, you know, I mean, there's, you know, there's definitely, you know, you mentioned the Braves, if they really think they're contenders, you know, it's probably not going to take a lot to get him. It's probably just going to be a mid-level prospect because he's in that last year. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of fits for him where, you know, he could step in and start and be an upgrade over what teams have. You know, I know the Braves apparently like Tyler Flowers, but he has a problem staying healthy. So,
yeah. So, I mean, you know, the next guy on the list, Deanny Echevarria from, I forgot he was on the Marlins, but he was the guy who got sent to the Rays playing shortstop. He's in the third year of arbitration. And, you know, the Rays' number two prospect, 15th overall out of the 100. Do you think he'll kind of stick down there?
Yeah.
With the Rays?
Well, you know, they're obviously one of those teams that are kind of money motivated. So depending on where his price tag might end up, or maybe, you know, they can get something done before he, you know, he goes into arbitration. You know, he's one of those guys, you know, it's always tough to kind of figure out these guys, because he's great defensively, but you would probably describe him as subpar offensively. He's a career 55 hitter. He's, you know, last year was his career high in home runs, and that was 8. You know, he's never driven in more than 48 RBI, so he's not a, you know, a gigantic offensive weapon, but he's a fantastic defender. You know, and looking along here, I'm actually surprised he's never managed to pick up a gold glove. You know, last year, he only made 4 errors total in 96 games. Yeah, I think, you know, price will kind of be, you know, the determining factor there. And, you know, you do wonder, I mean, when you look at a guy like this, you know, right away, I think if the price tag fits, boy, he would look good in a Royal uniform, because, you know, Escobar is a free agent. So unless they're going to trust shortstop to, you know, Raul Mondesi Jr., who hasn't proved he can hit major league pitching yet, this guy could be a fantastic plug-in, you know, for a team like Kansas City, even if it's just for the year, you know, until they can see if, you know, Mondesi is ready. But, you know, again, I kind of wonder where that price tag lands him, and if it puts him out of, you know, some of those other clubs kind of reach.
Now the next guy on the list is another infielder, slash outfielder, I don't remember hearing a whole lot about him last year, but I guess it's because he was hurt. And he only played in about 64 games. That would be Brock Holt with the Red Sox. He's in his second year of arbitration. Last year was only 1.95 mil.
Yeah, you know, it would be, you know, with Nunez as a free agent, I think it would be shocking if they non-tendered Brock. You know, he's been very successful there as their super utility guy, as they like to describe it. I know he had a really down year last year. I see his stats here. He only hit 200. But you mentioned the injury. He only played in 64 games. So I think he's going to be very affordable as an arbitration guy. I don't think his price is going to go up too much more. And he's not going to be a free agent until 2020. So, you know, they have time to, you know, hold on to him and not worry about him. But, like, I wouldn't even be shocked with the year he has if his price tag goes down. You know, he made 195 last year. I wouldn't be surprised if it actually drops to, like, 1.5 in arbitration. So, you know, I definitely think he's a, you know, he's an affordable option. And you got to think he's somebody Boston likes, don't you?
I would think so, especially the fact that he pretty much plays everything but pitcher and catcher.
Yeah, so, but yeah, you know, again, as long as he's healthy, I mean, obviously you and I don't know the health of these guys, but yeah, you know, as long as he's healthy, you know, it's a good fit for him to stay there, because that's, you know, at this point, that's really what the Red Sox need. I mean, you know, every day going in, with the exception of maybe first base, you know, and that's, again, if Sam Horn could lock it down, you know, they're pretty well set. So, you know, a guy like Holt, they know he can jump around. So, you know, I think he's a really good fit there. So, you know, I would be surprised if they either non-tendered him or even moved him.
The Blue Jays had I was going to say the highest, but as I'm looking, it gets higher as we go along. But at $5.75 million for a possible fifth starter long reliever, I believe he was with the Pirates, maybe it was the Marlins. And, of course, his right-handed pitcher, Tom Kohler. He was a Marlin, right?
Yeah, he was. Did he end up in Toronto? Is that where he is now, you said?
Yeah. I didn't even realize that happened in August. But he only threw 17 innings for them. And, I mean, aside from the noise or attention that the Blue Jays got in the beginning of the season with Joey Bats and his contracting negotiations or his big mouth, I mean, I don't think we really even touched on or looked at the Blue Jays nearly after the All-Star break, I have to say.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, for a few years there, Kohler was one of those guys I always ended up with on my fantasy team at, like, the back end of my rotation. Because, you know, while he's nothing spectacular, you know, as a fantasy guy, he gave me innings, and his ERA wasn't really through the roof until last year in Miami when it was 7.92. So I always kind of favored him, but, you know, when you're looking at him now, he's 31. He never really dominated, and you know, just a little under $6 million. You've got to wonder if, you know, if he's even worth going to arbitration with for Toronto. You know, they're probably, I would be surprised if there's a rotation spot for him there.
Now, here's a guy you know very well.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to go for anything, but Hector Rondon.
Oh, is he? I guess he is at that point where he's arbitration eligible, huh? So what did Hector make last year? What did they end up paying him?
$5.8 million with a 4.24 ERA and 61 appearances.
Yeah, that's, you know, I, you know, Hector may be the guy who's lucky that he's with a team that knows him real well, and they're also desperate for pitching. So that may be his saving grace. You know, if he was on a, you know, a, you know, if maybe he had moved or if he was with a new team, he may find himself out on the open market. But I think, you know, since he's been with the Cubs, you know, the past 5 years, and, you know, he's probably still got some goodwill there. You know, one time he was a really good closer, and you just wonder where the hell it went. I know sometimes those guys burn out fast, and, you know, Rondon looks like one of those guys. But I think they'll probably, while I don't expect him to get the arbitration, they'll probably come to some kind of an agreement right around the money he made last year. So it'll be interesting to see. But, yeah, I would be kind of shocked if, you know, if they non-tendered him.
And then next up is one of your guys who made $6.85 million as a lefty up in Seattle, Drew Smyly.
Oh, God, yeah. Another guy who just can't stay healthy, you know. Everybody's been kind of waiting for, you know, the Drew Smyly experience to take over and him to actually start, you know, putting up the numbers that everybody kind of thought he was going to after, I think it was Detroit, where he went out and pitched really well. And then, you know, they ended up moving him to Tampa.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, it's just, it just, for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked, or hasn't, you know, he just hasn't managed to, you know, stay healthy. I'm looking for his stats here. Did he even pitch last year? Let me see if I can find him. Yeah, he didn't even pitch last year. So,
like,
you know,
spring training took him to Tommy John.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, that, you know, that's obviously, you know, how, you know, he is just 28. You know, he's left-handed. Those guys seem to have a, you know, an interesting lifetime. But, yeah, you know, when you kind of start looking back on it, yeah, you know, he was 6-0 in 2013, but that was as a reliever. Never really had a ton of success as a starter. He did with Tampa a little in 2015, but, again, he got hurt. He was 5-2 with a 3.11 ERA, only made 12 starts because he was hurt. So, you know, again, everybody's looking for pitching, so that probably benefits him. You know, the Mariners may actually be doing him a favor if they let him go, because he could probably make more as a free agent, you know, being, again, left-handed and, you know, all that other fun stuff. So,
yeah, and it looks like,
you know,
he
but yeah.
Till the mid to late summer, so it'll be interesting what happens with him.
Yeah, and you got to think, going to arbitration with him, you know, if that's the case, his salary may actually either stay the same or come down. So that may also benefit them by the fact that they would may actually save a little money by keeping him around. But yeah, I you know, the more you just wonder if he's ever going to be the guy that, you know, at one point people thought he was going to be.
And the last guy on the list, I don't remember where he came from. I thought he was a Mariner, but I could be wrong. The backup catcher for the Brewers, who was a 2015 and 16 All-Star, Stephen Bogut.
Yeah. Well, oddly, he was the guest on Intentional Talk today, so I got to see them interview him. But, yeah, I was trying to
Or was he from Oakland?
Kind of trying to figure out. Yeah, you know, I was trying to kind of figure out what kind of happened with him, because, you know, he was really good with Oakland. You know, he made back-to-back All-Star appearances in 15 and 16, And then, you know, last year they just, I think they just cut him. I don't even think they dealt him. I got to double check here. Yeah, they just waived him. So you got to wonder. I mean, I know they, you know, obviously it's Oakland. They were looking to go with some younger guys. Vogt is 33. So, you know, you don't know what's going to go on there. I know, you know, Milwaukee had that really odd catching situation where, you know, they wanted to give the job to Jet Bandy and it didn't work out. And that's when, you know, that was when Vogt ended up being brought in. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see them non-tender him depending on what they're doing. You know, which way they're going to go with their roster or who they think is going to be their starter. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on the open market.
Well, don't forget the Brewers have Manny Pena, too.
Yeah, he's the guy who took over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you wonder if, you know, he's in line to take the job. I mean, you know, it could be interesting. I mean, you know, it doesn't look like Vogt would be expensive, but you do wonder if you want to pay a backup, you know, $3 million, you know, especially if you're happy with, you know, what you have. And, you know, who knows? I mean, maybe they've got a catcher in the minors or, you know, there are other catchers on the market. I mean, if you're going to pay a catcher, you know, you may want to just go get like a guy like Wellington Castillo, who I think would be an upgrade over anybody you have. So,
yeah.
But yeah, you know, Vogt would be a guy I wouldn't be surprised if he's out. I wouldn't be surprised if nobody picks him up, you know, at 33. I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Now, kind of sticking with the Brewers, with Matt Garza being granted free agency and the rumors that they're in talks with Jake Arrieta, do you think it's possible that he ends up there for 5 with a 6-year option?
Who, Arrieta?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, if the Brewers are going to sign him, they're going to have to give him that 6th year because they're the Brewers. You know, he's not going to sign with the Brewers. I know the one prediction I read was 4 years for $100 million, but I don't see him taking that there. That would be a bit of a shock to me if he settled for just 4 years. You know, we all know he wants 6 because everybody wants 6, and he's got Scott Boras as an agent, so they want 6 years, and you know, that's just how it goes. But yeah, I don't know if, unless a, you know, a real top team is desperate for starting pitching, I don't know if they would drop the 6th year on him. But you know, any team on the outside looking in, like, you know, the Brewers, they might, you know, they, you know, I mean, remember when they signed Garza, it was for like 4 years and we were all shocked that, you know,
yeah,
they went with that long of a term for Matt Garza. It might've been 5. I know it was a long time and we were all like, what the hell are they doing? Why are they giving Matt Garza all these years? So, you know, they may be the team that does it, you know? So,
I mean,
you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
You don't really have anything to lose, do you? Because you've already pitched at the highest. I think he peaked. I don't think this guy is going to continue on an upward slant. You threw 2 no-hitters, one against a really good team, one against a bad team. You won a World Series. You know, great playoff stance. I don't think at the end of his career that he'll be a Hall of Fame candidate. Well, I guess they all are, right? But I don't know if he'll be – I guess it all depends on who's on the ballot when he's on there. But I really don't see him having, you know, finishing off with a Hall of Fame career. But if you can get the money for 6 years, does it really matter where he goes anymore? Does it – you know, does the winning matter as a whole, not just –
No, Yeah, you know, right now he's looking like a guy who wants to get paid. You know, he's not looking like a guy who just, well, okay, if I win, you know, that's great. you know, he's looking for that big time contract, because with the way his career went, this is probably going to be the only one he gets. You know, there's not going to be a second huge contract. So if he's going to cash in, this is it. You know, you figure he's probably a, you know, 15 to 18 win guy a year now. You know, if he gets, you know, if he finds it again, maybe he sneaks in a 20 for the next maybe 2 years, 3 years, and then he'll fall into that 12 to 15 win category. So you're, you know, but, you know, especially now, if you're a starting pitcher, you've got to cash your money before, you know, teams start to decide that you're not worth it because you only pitch five or six innings. So, you know, it's definitely going to be a thing. I think we're going to see starters try to, you know, especially the younger guys, really try to land bigger money deals, because they'll be, you know, it looks like the way starters are going, we're going to see a change in how they're handled.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the fact that he only goes five, six innings, do you think that's on his performance, or more so the coach being, no names mentioned, being a little too jumpy?
Or that's, yeah, just, you know, it's gonna... just... You know, it's what baseball's turned into. You know, I mean, it's going to be one of these things that I think we're just going to start to see. You know, you're going to send guys out there for five innings, and then everybody loves their bullpen because everybody throws 100-plus miles an hour. So you're going to run 100 mile an hour, you know, guy out there after another one. And, you know, well, you go an inning. Well, you know, we need a lefty to get this guy out. He goes a third of the inning, and this guy comes in and gets the other two thirds. You know, it seems to be the way baseball is going. So I don't know if, you know, it's going to matter how many inning starters go.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, are we even going to care about that anymore? You know, the thing when the Cubs made the trade for the White Sox, you know, one of the positives you and I looked at was the fact that Quintana is a 200 inning a year guy, or season guy.
Yeah.
You know, in the next 5 years, what number do you think that's going to translate into, where we're going, oh, well, he's going to give you 100, you know, 70 innings this season? That's, you know, is it going to get to that point where 200 is like a god, or, you know, unheard of?
Yeah, you've got to start to wonder, you know, I mean, you look at, you know, a guy making 30 starts, averaging six innings a start, is 180 innings going to be the new total?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that going to be the thing? I mean, hell, remember back in the day, they used to pitch 300 innings a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, it disappeared from that, and now we're, you know, we're down to, you know, I want to see here. Chris Sale pitched the most innings last year at 214 and a third. There were only 15 guys to pitch 200 innings or more last season. So that's where baseball is right now. So, you know, I know injuries obviously are part of it for some guys. Otherwise, we'd probably have a few more names in the category here. But yeah, I mean, that's where it is. I mean, 15 guys for,
now,
you know, 200
or whatever. You threw out a magic number, which I don't think is going to exist far much longer. The 30. Do you think, on average, we're going to start looking at, you know, the way things get extended after the All-Star break, and, you know, depending on where your playoff positioning comes, you think the higher norm will be, you know, 160 innings with 25 starts, maybe 27 starts?
You know, I'm starting to kind of wonder who's going to be the team that takes on the Japanese philosophy of when it's your day to start, that's your start. You know, and that's just it. There's no, you know, no other question. If you're the, you know, if you're the guy who starts games on Sundays, well, here you go. And you'll make one start a week all the time throughout the year, no matter what. So, I think, you know, it's weird because I just don't, you know, understand what, you know, and I get it, you know, health is obviously an issue and they worry about that kind of stuff. But, you know, to me, this would call my training staff and everything into question that I can't get my guys ready to pitch. So.
Well, not only that, I mean, we talked about Jake Arrieta and the money he wants. And, you know, not to just, like, put it all on him, but let's just say, you know, 6 years, or you said 4 years, $100 million was one of the things that was thrown out there. And in the future, if we have pitchers only going once a week, like you said, Japanese style, you know, now you've marked it down because you figure we have 52 weeks. The MLB season goes about 6 months. But you're going to knock off, what, 4 or 5 weeks of that for the postseason. So you're only looking at, would you say, roughly just under 20 weeks. So maybe 20, 22 weeks. Are we looking at 22 starts? Are you really going to be wanting to pay a guy $100 million for 4 years when he's only going to give you 80 starts? Did I get my math right on that?
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the questions teams are going to have to start answering. I mean, besides Jake Arrieta, you know, don't forget, Yu Darvish is on the market. He's going to get a bigger contract than Arrieta does. So, yeah, you know, you're looking at a lot of big-time questions with the way baseball is going. And I think, you know, a lot of this has to do is they've let sabermetrics get to them too much. You know, managers don't so much manage by their gut anymore. They kind of look at the book and say, well, sabermetrically, we got to get this guy out of there. Remember, one of the things Mickey Galloway said when he took over the Mets is he wasn't sure if he would let his starting pitchers go through the batting order 3 full times, because that third at bat is when guys start to kind of figure them out. Okay, so that means if he goes 3 up and 3 down every inning, you're pitching 6 innings, and that's it. Now, if you don't and they get a couple of hits out of you, you're going 4 1/3 or 3 2/3. Is this really the way that the game needs to translate? It seems like we're overanalyzing everything and people can't figure anything out for themselves anymore. It's just like, well, this is what sabermetrics says. This is what I have to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with letting a guy try to work through trouble, especially a young pitcher. You know, sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't, but this is how they kind of develop character. You know, otherwise now, you know, we're going to get guys who anytime he gets first and second on after the fifth inning, he knows he's coming out of the game. You know, it's kind of like, oh, okay, great. I guess I'm out. So.
Now, I can't remember if the pitching clock is going to be implemented this year or next year. Oh, I guess this year is over, but you know what I mean? It's implemented in the minor league system, and essentially what it does is kind of get guys to just not waste so much time on the mound if there's, you know, no one at bat. So I don't know how that's going to change, but do you think that could prove to be a little bit more longevity for a pitcher if they're pitching a little faster instead of wasting time thinking so much about, or, you know, even putting the pressure on themselves about who's batting, how they're going to pitch to them?
Yeah, well, you know, the odd part is I actually think it puts more pressure on the, you know, the manager and the bench and stuff. You know, this may be a good thing for the game where pitchers and catchers actually have to call the game off a scouting report and the catcher isn't staring into the dugout every time to get a pitch call. You know, because that's one of the things that slows the game down. I mean, if you notice, you know, every time, you know, the catcher's got to turn his head. He's got to look into the dugout. You know, okay, what are we calling now? Are you putting a play on? You know, what's going on here? You know, I really think this could kind of set the game up a little bit where it's, you know, hey, this guy's really rolling with his fastball. Well, let's, you know, let's throw the fastball a little more because, you know, the catcher knows what he's got going on. So it, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it kind of morphs the game and the pitching. You know, my fear is, like everything else, they're going to find ways around it. And, you know, instead of, you know, guys will be wandering around or whatever they've got going on. So, but yeah, you know, it'll definitely be an interesting, you know, way to see how they do this. You know, I mean, like what they put in replay and guys found ways to get around that, you know, so. That's just how, you know, how it is. I guess that's what rules are for, right? You're supposed to try to figure out how the heck to, how to get around them. And, you know, we'll kind of, you know, kind of see from there. But I know the one thing we didn't, while we were rambling on baseball here, you know, while there is not much going on, obviously there are rumors, you know, Giancarlo Stanton is going to a different team just about every week. But one of the things that came up was the Red Sox, who everybody has pretty much decided need a first baseman, have apparently contacted the White Sox about the availability of Jose Abreu. Now, you know, I thought Abreu might be the guy the Sox hung on to kind of, you know, kind of build with the young guys, work with the young guys as they were coming through. So, you know, you got to wonder. I mean, obviously we know the Red Sox have a pretty well-stacked farm system, and you just wonder if, you know, is Abreu obviously would be a quality first baseman for them. You know, he could DH a little as well, like he does for the White Sox. Not a great defender, but he's good enough to get by. The thing that probably should really intrigue Red Sox fans is he's got really good opposite field power, and that would play into Fenway Park really well. You know, the question is though, just what do the Red Sox have to give up, or what would they be willing to give up? You know, would be the tough part. You know, I know like one of the parts in the article, Dave Dombrowski is quoted as being hesitant to part with significant prospect value. And, you know, the Sox, you know, if the Sox are going to move Abreu and something like that, they're not going to give him away. So if Boston is serious, they're going to have to come up with another big-time deal with the White Sox to try to get it done. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if that's the route they go. You know, they were in the Giancarlo Stanton talks as well, but, you know, if they're not willing to give up significant prospects, they're not landing anybody. And they better hope Sam Horn is the real deal, or else they're looking at a big hole at first base. You know, I mean, they could always bring Mitch Moreland back, who was – you know, not a great power hitter, but he did hit a boatload of doubles and was solid for them. So, we'll have to see where, you know, that kind of offseason shakes out for the Red Sox as well. So,
I didn't realize you mentioned the Red Sox were interested in Abreu. They could always send Chris Sale back, right?
Yeah, well, you know, except, you know, that's sadly that, you know, I don't think that's what the White Sox want at this point.
No.
You know, they would want to tap into that, you know, Red Sox farm system again, like they did when they, you know, when they sent Sale over there. So it could be.
It could be
interesting to see if they can, pump something out, or, you know, and obviously, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, we're not getting Rafael Devers or however you pronounce it. I don't know if they would part with Ben and Teddy. They do have a, you know, a flourish of outfielders. And I realize I've been calling the first baseman Sam Horn because Sam Horn used to play in the majors. It's actually Sam Travis. But you would got to think he would probably be part of the deal if they sent Abreu, because there would be no reason to hang on to him. And they do have a lower – I pulled up their prospects here. They do have a lower-level first-base prospect as well. So, yeah, you know, it just depends, you know, what they would be willing to part with. You know, their number one-rated prospect is a 19-year-old left-handed pitcher by the name of Jay. I'm going to guess this is Groom, even though there's an E on the end. Number two is Michael Chavez, who's a third baseman. The third prospect is Brian Mata, who's a 18-year-old right-handed pitcher. And then number four is another right-handed pitcher. This guy's 21, by the name of Tanner Houck. So they have, you know, young guys to move if, you know, that's what the Sox are looking for. Travis is sixth, by the way. He's 24. He's one of the older guys on the list. But, you know, the question just becomes, will Boston be willing to part with them, you know, to get a deal done?
Yeah, and you stole my thunder. I was going to break news about Giancarlo Stanton, but, yeah, you stole my thunder.
Oh.
You didn't let me get a chance.
What, I didn't – what, he's being traded everywhere?
Well, well, yeah, I was going to say, breaking news. Giancarlo Stanton is interested in by everybody but the Marlins, 31 teams.
Yes. So, you know, I did see I don't know if you saw the quote the other day where they kind of sort of threatened him in a roundabout way by saying, you know, if he wouldn't accept the trade, it would force them to move, you know, like Marcelo Zuna and Christian Yelich. And he would have to be there for their rebuild. So I thought that was kind of humorous that they kind of used reverse psychology on him and was kind of like, well, if you don't, you know, we're going to stink and you're going to be here for it. Let's face it, you kind of stunk last year. So I'm sure he's probably used to it.
Throwing that in his face is okay, so you say that, but, you know, the minute they've got him moved, that's going to raise the value of Ozuna and Yelich. If you're moving Stanton, I don't even know why the hell you would keep those two.
Right. There's absolutely – well, Yelich I could see because he's still young. And I believe he's on a pretty friendly team deal. But, yeah, I mean, there's no reason to hang on to your veteran guys like that. If you know you're gonna move one, you might as well just kind of pretty much start cleaning house, or however you're gonna you want to describe it, then get your young guys in. We mentioned D. Gordon before, who's name is on the trading block. I mean, you've got no reason to keep Martin Prado either. So, go ahead and start finding places for these guys and, see what you can get. So,
well, and if you look at them and you kind of go, well, are you going to do the Rick Hahn thing? I'm not going to say the White Sox thing because, Kenny still works there. So it's the Rick Hahn thing.
Yeah.
Just as a matter of just kind of throwing the numbers out there, I think D. Gordon could definitely get you two, solid minor leaguers, with the third one maybe, definitely lower tier. Ozuna, 3-4. Giancarlo, 4-5. That way, right there, if you can find a team that has those high guys, they could essentially be the number two team with, the minor leagues underneath the White Sox. If they're able to turn those three guys.
The tough part with, moving a guy like Stanton is how much money is Miami willing to pick up, and that's obviously going to affect you know, whatever they're going to get for him in return. So, you know, that's always, you know, the big question with any kind of that stuff, because that would be I don't think any team is going to be willing to take on that entire contract. So they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to come up with something somewhere, whatever it works out. But I'm looking to see who signed for what here with this team. And do they have it set up like this, or is it just, do I have to go player? I don't want to go player by player. That would be ridiculous. So, but yeah, it's, you know, like actually Martin Prado makes $13.5 million. So yeah, D. Gordon made D. Gordon made 10.5 last year, technically 10.8 with his signing bonus. And yeah, Yelich made $7 million last year. He's only 25. You know, Gordon is 29 and Prado is 34. So it would be interesting to see, you know, if or what they could get for some of these guys if they decided to, you know, to make those moves. I mean, Gordon is very reasonable at 10.8. That's not a bad deal for a guy like D. Gordon, but you're not going to get much for Prado making almost $14 million. You know, you'll be lucky to get a lower level guy at, you know, at that point.
When, how long do they have Prado for?
I thought he was just signed through next season. It doesn't break it down the way I want it to. I got to pull him up individually here and see what they have here. Actually, he is signed through 2019. And in 2019, his salary jumped to $15 million. So he's there 2 more years with an increase in salary.
I don't think he's going anywhere. I really don't see him going anywhere until possibly All-Star break, more so the following season.
Yeah, it's gonna take a big time injury for somebody to come chasing, you know, Martin Prado in that, you know, type of circumstance there. I can't see them, you know, really, you know, going through. Now, D. Gordon is actually signed through 2021. He'll make 13.3. Well, actually, next year he'll make 10.8. Then in 19, it jumps to 13.3. 20, it's 13.8. And then 21, it's $14 million. So salary structure wise, it's a manageable contract for D. Gordon. You just got to hope that as he ages, because he is 29, the speed doesn't go away, because obviously that's the biggest part of his game, and you don't want a 33-year-old D. Gordon who can't run. You know, that would be huge. You know, they actually signed, Yelich is signed through 2021 with an option for 2022. And the deal, you know, it increases from $7 million now to, if they agree to keep him in 2022, just $15 million. So, you know, he definitely has a hugely team-friendly contract, and he'll only be 32 by the time the deal ends. So, you know, and then the last guy here, Ozuna, is Ozuna is in arbitration. I did not know that. He's got 2 more years of arbitration. He made 3.5 last year. You got to figure it's going to significantly jump from that. It'll probably double. He'll probably be in the $7 million range with the year he had. So we'll have to see if he's a movable guy, but he's just 27. So, you know, they have some offensive pieces they could move if they wanted to, you know, just besides Stanton, obviously. But yeah, though, you know, that will be the, you know, the big intrigue on what they, you know, what they decide to do. And, you know, like they do have guys, you know, like Justin Bour is 29. He's another guy in arbitration, but he's there for, he's got 3 years of arbitration left. He made $552,000 last year. You know, he'll probably get into the millions this year, but it's not going to be a huge, you know, a huge number where they, well, you know, we got to get rid of this guy kind of in the Stanton books. But yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see what, you know, like Jeter's plan is and what they're going to do, but I don't know. I'm not, I guess I'm not totally sold on how things are going to go for them. You know, we'll have to, you know, have to kind of see. I don't know. Are you buying the Marlin rebuild yet, or waiting to see what the Marlins do? I guess with all the talk would be the better way to look at it.
I'm more so waiting to see what they're gonna do. I mean, it seems a little out there that you have one of the best players with an extraordinarily high. I don't even think the amount of money that's with the contract, just the term. It kind of makes you go, whoa.
Yeah, the terms were a little goofy when it was like 13 years or whatever. And, you know, that was a little funky. It was kind of like an NHL contract to get around the salary cap. But, you know, it was just kind of strange. But, you know, I don't know. You know, I would hate to see – you know, I get it. You know, you come in and you want to put your stamp on the team, but, you know, just to kind of to rip it up for just for the sake of ripping it up just doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't really seem to sit well with me.
Now, you've got to wonder what the money debt issues are. You know, is that part of the reason? They're not drawing. They've got to, you know, 10-year contract, and the guy that they're going to owe millions, that they're still going to end up, like you said, no one's just going to take them. They're still going to end up having to pick up something.
Yeah.
And if, well, if they don't have to pick up something, that's probably to a team he doesn't want to go to.
So yeah, again, it's that odd, you know, situation. It's like, okay, well, we came in, and the first thing we're going to do is get rid of our best player. So it's one of those things that I don't know. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And you just kind of wonder, you know, what the setup is or how they're working on things or whatever, you know, it goes. But yeah, for right now, I mean, you got to think they're a lost cause. But, you know, I know we're running out of time here. I didn't want to forget. I looked in the Google sheet and didn't see your pick for tonight. Stu and I are going with Washington. So as I'm playing the music here, tell everybody who you're picking tonight.
I don't even know who they're playing.
Washington and Dallas.
I go Washington.
All right, and then I'll eventually get Mr. Fantasy's pick probably right before kickoff. All right, so Dan and I are leaving. We'll come back tomorrow at 5:30, but you know what to do while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what goes over there. Don't forget the link to the Facebook page. Give that a like. The Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. Don't forget, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. As always, thanks for listening live, but don't forget, the podcast is available for you anytime you want to listen to it at TuneIn.com.